As we come to hear what doth said the Lord has placed on my heart for you
and for you
and for me, let us pray. Holy and most gracious Spirit, I come before you. I come before you asking you right now to cleanse away all the things that I've been thinking all week long, to wash aside all the thoughts I thought I had, all the words I thought I would say. I want you to wash them away, Lord, and come now into this place. Come and let your Spirit pour into me, for I come as an empty vessel, inviting your word to be said, not only for these, your people, but for me, your servant. Come, Holy Spirit. This is my humble prayer. Amen. This morning, as I come to you briefly with a few words from the scripture, the text of Isaiah just resonated with me. For indeed, Isaiah comes at a difficult time in the Israelite history. This is a period of exile and separation. This is a time of upheaval and turmoil. This is a time of relationships that are being broken, families that are being separated. Have mercy. This is a time not unlike what we are dealing with today. When we look at our political upheaval that is going on in this nation, when we look at the separations of families as we think of our borders, when we look at our world right now where we can find more things that we don't have in common rather than the things that we enjoy and cling to together. Indeed, Isaiah came at a time when the people of God needed to hear a word. Even though Isaiah was called as a prophet to not only to the kings, he was also called as a prophet to the people. He was called to tell them some harsh and some tough times, but he was also called to let them see there was light yet to come. And yet right now, in the moment in which they are living, between the different warring factions around them, between the not knowing where they would go and what they would be, not knowing how the world would look, they were struggling with who they were and who they were going to be. In essence, there would have been a question about where is God in all of this? Where is God centered in this? Where is God going to come and resurrect something a little differently than what is going on right now? For indeed, as the text tells us, they are going through a period of wilderness and desert. They were feeling dried up, like there was nothing that they could do. We hear in the text that they were fearful, that they were afraid, that they didn't know which way to go, that indeed they felt like the lions and the jackals were all around them. Indeed, they were living in a time when they thought that there was nowhere they could turn and nowhere they could go. But along comes Isaiah. Isaiah comes to them and brings a word from God. And the word for them is one of assurance, a word of them that lets them know that God persists even in the midst of their struggle and strife, even in the midst of their turmoil and dismay, God persists. And how does this God persist? Our scripture tells us that God persists because God will raise up this desert and this wilderness that looks so barren, and there will be flowers. This desert and this wilderness that exists, that there will be water that will flow for their thirst, not simply for their body thirst, but for their spiritual nurturance thirst. God persists even in the midst of that wilderness experience that they are going through, in the midst of their trials and tribulations, when they don't see any way out. These words are lifted up by Isaiah to a people who were struggling, to a people who did not feel. I can only imagine. What will they do next? What more can happen to them? What more struggle can they endure? How will they overcome in the midst of what is happening to them? But Isaiah tells them that there is a highway. Isaiah tells them there is a highway that will be made plain for them, and that this highway that they take, that others may not want to dare to cross. Indeed, Isaiah tells them there's a highway in which when they walk down that highway, others will choose not to walk that way. It's not necessarily that they won't see the highway, but there's a choice when you choose the highway with God. There's a choice when you choose to walk with God that says that you will be about justice and peace, that you will be about love and grace, that you will be about compassion and not greed, that you will be about leading and caring for your people and not about yourselves. And that's a highway that those who are around them would not want to take, because they were living in a time of power and overthrow. They were living in a time where it was a me society, not a me too society. It was a me society. It was all about me getting mine. And well, if you don't get yours, oh well. There's a highway. And on this highway, they will be there, and they will not have to fear the lion or the jackal. They will not have to fear what is going on around them. They'll be able to walk straight because others will not choose that highway. Because that highway means that they have to let go. They have to let go of their own pride. They have to let go of their own greed. They have to let go of their own selfishness. They have to let go of being violent to those who do not deserve violence. They have to let go of those things that they have clung to as a means of power and overthrow. It's a path they don't want to walk. And then Isaiah tells them likewise that in the same token, that their fear will no longer overcome them. Fear will not overcome them. Their sorrow and their sighing will no longer be present. Rather, they will sing of joy. They will sing that this is the day that the Lord has made, and they will be glad in it. They will sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," because they will know the goodness and greatness of God. They will stand on mountains and shout hallelujah because God is present with them. And they will know this. And I wonder sometimes, North Shore, friends and guests, I wonder if we know the same thing. I wonder if we know that in the midst of the hurt and the pain, in the midst of the angst and the worry, that we know that God persists to walk with us. There is no place you can go that God will not be there for you. There is no mountain that you can climb onto that God will not already be there waiting to shout with you. There is no valley that you can go into that God will not already be there ready to wipe your tears and to bring joy in the midst of your sorrow. I wonder if you know that. For indeed, this is what Isaiah brings. In the midst of political upheaval, he is letting them know that there is a God who will stand with them and that they will stand for justice, even in the midst of doubt and concern. That their worst worries will be eased and granted. Do we feel that way as a community? That in the midst of what is going on in our nation, do we feel empowered to know that in the midst of our wilderness, in the midst of our desert, that God still persists? That God still cries out to us to be a people of God. That God still calls out to us and says, "I love you no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, no matter the struggles and trials you have endured. I am still here. I am who I am. And because I am who I am, no hurt, harm, or danger can come to you." The caveat here is that it calls for you and me to be prophets even in our own time and place. For God's persistent message to be resounded and to be expounded, it requires you and me to be prophets right here in this community, right here where we live, right here where we work, within the midst of our families, to stand and to be God's persistent purveyors of goodness and truth. And I know sometimes it gets tiring. I know when you look at the world and the way things are, and you look at our community with the violence that goes on, that sometimes, you know, that as the old folks in the old days used to say, sometimes you get tired of being tired. But I want you to know that God persists so that you and I, in the midst of our tiredness, we can sit down for a few minutes, woo, out of breath, and get right back up and go to it. That's the persistence that God desires of you and me. That is the call for you and me as prophets of God. And I know it's a challenge. I know it's a challenge. I know when you look at the way things are, and I'm not just talking about the world thing. I'm talking about even in our homes sometimes. It's just a struggle to be who we are and to be God-centered even in our own homes, to realize that God is persistent in the midst of the fact that the phone bill is due, the light bill is overdue, the car broke down, the house got a leak in the roof. We know all those things, but God is still present. You got up this morning, didn't you? God is still present. You got clothes on, don't you? God is still present. You got shoes on your feet. God is still present. Amen? Amen. This is what the Lord desires of us. I want to share with you this little story for a minute. For many years, it's written that Chuck Campbell taught preaching at Columbia Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. He required his students in one of his classes to lead worship and to preach at the Open Door Shelter for the homeless people in downtown Atlanta. One day he was leading worship in front of the shelter amid the noise of the rush of our traffic. After the call to worship and a song, Chuck's plans were interrupted. I noticed one homeless man waving to me and pointing to himself. I was surprised when I saw him, for the man can neither hear nor speak and is normally very reserved. But there he was, eager to do something. He stepped into the middle of the circle, bowed his head in silence, and began to sign a hymn for us. It was a beautiful, like dance. In that moment, our notions of abled and disabled were turned upside down. The rest of us had been shouting to be heard, but the noise was no problem for our friend. Our worship became a token of the resurrection in the midst of the powers of death, a glimpse of God's beloved community. Even Isaiah couldn't have imagined the glory of that moment in downtown Atlanta as the hands of the speechless were singing for joy. I want to remind you that as this young man, as this elder care man stood up and signed, he brought joy. And I know sometimes you don't think that you have a gift. There may be times where you don't think that you can do anything to make change in the world. But you don't have to start out there, just start right here. You don't have to change everything, but just be the prophet God calls you to be right here, right now, because God persists. God persists to stand with you, and you are being challenged today in the midst of the chaotic stuff that goes on in our nation, in our world, in our community, to stand with God, to be persistent in our call for justice, be persistent in our call for mercy, to be persistent in our call for hope, to be persistent in our love, no matter where it comes from and who it's given to. You don't have a situation where you can say, Donna, hi, Donna. You can't say to Donna, I love you, but I don't like Scott. Sorry, Scott, this is what I do, man. I do this. I do love you, though. I want you to know that. And you can't turn to Ryan and say, Ryan, I know you got a beautiful voice, but you know that singing, you got to do something different with it. This is how we lift up the Lord. Right? We lift up the Lord because we are persistent in our grace, in our mercy. God was persistent to the children of Israel. God was persistent has been persistent through all time. And God's persistence is what will help you and me endure the days ahead. It is God's persistence. It is God's persistence, not mine, not yours. It is God's persistence that will build this relationship of pastor and congregation. It is God's persistence that will allow us to love each other when we make a mistake, to say I'm sorry when we step on somebody's toes. It is God's persistence that will allow us to embrace each other in the good times, in the bad, in the happy and the sad. It is God's persistence that will carry us through. May God bless and keep you. Here are the words of God. Amen.